So these existing levees in this report that I'm citing, General Reevaluation of Powell River, California Flood Control Project Geotechnical Appendix, March 2009, it is acknowledgedly an administrative draft, and I'm releasing information from an administrative draft. The draft documents go out with the EIS, EIR for the project, hopefully in April 2012. But I think the information that I'm going to give you rises to the occasion that I'm going to give it to you in a public arena from an administrative draft document. So I hope you take that into effect. These levees were evaluated for geotechnical failure based on the factors of levee under seepage, slope stability, through seepage and piping, and surface erosion. And so when you consider the estimated probability of failure on those four factors for these existing levees, at an exterior stage of 28.5 feet, there's a 22% chance of failure. At an exterior stage of 31.5 feet, there's a 44% chance of failure. There's a table that I'm giving to you that has that, and then it has another column for when judgment is added. And judgments in this case means past histories and maintenance practices. So when you add judgments, you know, looking at this project over the series of years, the exterior stage of 28.5 rises to 28% chance of failure, and 31.5 rises to a 64% chance of failure. So that's a 2 in 3 chance of failure when water levels, without any discharges added to them, are in the river, in the range you're talking about allowing additional discharges into. I think that's critical information for your board to consider as they make this decision. So we've come to you previously as, you know, the managers of this system and ask you not to raise this discharge window to the level that was approved in 2005. I'm asking again that you consider going back to the range that you had prior to 2005 based on this geotechnical knowledge of estimated probability of levee failure. What I would request,
just for clarity, was that, was it 25 feet or 28 feet?
It was 28.5 feet.
That was the level that you had recommended before?
That with judgment is, we recommended it 25, cap it at 25 feet.
But what is your recommendation today now then?
Would be the same as your requirements prior to 2005.
Which is 25?
Which is 25.
Okay. And was there a risk number associated with that?
With the 25?
Right.
At 23.5, there's a risk number of 10%, and with judgments, it stays at 10%. That is also on this table here that I'll be handing.
So it might be in the 12-13% range.
That's a big leap. You know, I think 10% is generically close enough. But
yeah.
What about the 28.5 level? What was that risk factor?
It was 22% without judgments and 28% with judgments. And judgments, again, being maintenance history, flood history taken into the evaluation. And at 31.5 feet, which is, you know, 0.2 of a foot above the cap that you're allowing discharges to go into, you have a 44% chance of failure without judgments and a 64% chance with judgments. That's 2/3 chance. That's pretty tough. This is why we're working so hard to get this darn system rebuilt. And we have to live with this lack of geotechnical integrity of the system that currently exists. So I'm asking you simply, you know, extend the hearing, direct your staff, direct the applicant staff to talk to Mark Goodhue, Chief of the Geosciences of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, San Francisco District, Duke Roberts, Chief of the Readiness Branch, Army Corps of Engineers, San Francisco District. Those two gentlemen are in charge of the Mark Goodhue, Geotechnical Studies, Duke Roberts responses, you know, Readiness Branch's response to flooding situations and what and our kind of annual levee inspections and those kind of things.
Well,
that would satisfy us.
Okay. Have you spoken to them?
We have not.
You have
to
not.
The Corps. Have we spoken to the Corps about this? We copied them in our comment letter.
Right. I saw that. But as you indicated, you're the managers of the levee system, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Have you, I'm just curious, have you made any contact with the Corps to help evaluate this situation that we're looking at right now?
I have not.
Okay. I mean, and I don't mean you personally, but I mean...
My staff has not
either. The staff has not.
Has Monterey County?
I'm not aware of Monterey County has either. I would doubt that Monterey County has.
Okay. I mean, it seems like that would be... I mean, I agree with you. I think that that would probably yield some good information. I'm just curious why it hasn't happened so far. And you know that your levee system needs some attention.
Yes, and we've been working forthrightly and vigorously with the Army Corps on rebuilding this levee system and getting that process moving on a timelier schedule than it has been. And we've been working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers about a proposed bench excavation proposal within the river system that excavates 320,000 cubic yards of material so that we can drop the water surface elevations and move more water through the system and improve other resource habitat value. So we have been very busy on river matters.
Okay. You said you have not or you have been?
We have been on river project matters and bench excavation, which are the two highest priorities for
I would think our department. That the Army Corps is going to be most receptive to the managers of the levee system who make an inquiry into a request for technical assistance.
I would be delighted. I would be delighted to make that call if you'd like me to.
Well,
I'm not the applicant here.
I'm just thinking it would be in your best interest to be doing it without us suggesting that it be done by you. That's what I'm trying to get at. I mean, the applicant, you want us to ask the applicant to do it or us to do it, but I think that coming from the managers of the system would get the highest amount of response.
It seems to me as a manager of the system that you didn't listen to us 5 years ago. No disrespect intended. And so I thought, send your own staff, send the applicant staff in neutral, go talk to the Corps, then you have an informed response to your own. We talked to you 5 years ago and made recommendations against raising the level.
Right.
And so, you know, it was not received very favorably.
Well, it wasn't received favorably by us, obviously. I mean, I remember this agenda item because I remember going over. I mean, this is a kind of novel for us because it's not a water quality issue.
Understand.
You know? And so this is a hydrological situation and dealing with things that we normally don't deal with. But in the last few years, and I'm not trying to point fingers, but, okay, so we didn't respond the way you would have liked us to, but it just would have been helpful to have, at this point in time, have the Army Corps' input for us. And I'm actually on board with your requests. I want you to know that. I think that they're reasonable. I'd like to find out what the rest of the board thinks.
You know,
I'm sensitive to a threat of immediate harm to property and life. I think there's a risk. I think we know a lot more now about levees and their integrity and what the Army Corps has been doing over the years than maybe we did 5 years ago. I'm receptive to the request that you've made. But I think that, you know, a request of the Army Corps coming from the county is foremost, just in my mind.
Well, actually, from both counties, Mr. Chair, it would be an advantage. But this is some of the same arguments that I had on this issue 5 years ago because of flooding. I know you said it's not really a water quality issue, but it is a water quality issue because when you have floodwaters, you have contaminants in there, and you're putting it onto farmland and individual homes. And that was my contention, is that even if the response from the applicant, well, it's only a drop in the bucket. But my response to that is if your house is about ready to be flooded at 1/4 inch, then their drop in the bucket may make that difference of flooding their particular home. And that was part of my argument. And that's been argument over the years. Now, there has been a lawsuit. Correct?
One.
On the flood. because of the levees. Is that right?
There are a couple lawsuits.
Lawsuits still pending?
There was Okay, with respect to the flood, the Areola lawsuit, I think, is probably the one you're referring to, the damages based on the 95 flood.
Was there some direction to the Army Corps of Engineers to do something with the levees at that time, or was it directed to Santa Cruz County and Monterey County? Because you're responsible for both sides of the river.
There was $100 million or $95 million in damages estimated from that flood. There was there were responsibilities assigned in court to the parties of Monterey County, Santa Cruz County, and Caltrans, and the matter was settled outside of court for $50 million. There was a lawsuit also from Monterey County against Santa Cruz County that Santa Cruz County was not aggressively pursuing the use of mechanical equipment within the stream bed to clear vegetation. So there have been a couple of lawsuits, and I don't believe that latter one has been actually cleared yet unless statute of limitations run on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You still have about 3 minutes. So we interrupted you, but we stopped our clock. So did you want to save the time, or did you?
I would be happy to ask any questions, answer any questions.
Okay.
My purpose is not to be inflammatory. My purpose is to provide the information to you that I have access to so that everybody can make informed decisions. And that's the best for all purposes here. It's a reluctant recommendation to work through the Army Corps of Engineers, knowing how long that takes on many, many matters, in all honesty. But you're the body, having to make the decision here about continuing a controlled release. Now, a controlled release is different than something going over the top of a spillway that's uncontrolled. A controlled means in advance this is being done, how much water, and that kind of thing. So you're authorizing a controlled release into an environment, that's subject to either flooding possibilities at that range if the flow hydrograph continues to rise, or subject to probable levee failure. It's not an enviable position to be in.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions at this point?
Well, I think, Mr. Chair, after the applicant makes their presentation,
we may have more
questions for him.
And I just meant for this gentleman.
This, in essence, is my talking points, the cover of the report, the graph of the four features that were identified for geotechnical failure,
right,
and the table with the probabilities that I. So we've produced that for you. Can I leave it?
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. And why don't we have the applicant?
And I would say that report had 7 index points along the river that they evaluated that at. Mm-hmm. I used index point 3, which just coincidentally is between the Highway 1 bridge and the tributary here. So it includes this portion where we're currently sitting adjacent to the community of Pavro and the city of Watsonville.
How long would it take, do you think, the Army Corps to respond? Just an estimate.
It took us 4 months to get a variance from them for the proposed bench excavation project to remove sediment in the Pavro River. A project everybody supports, all the resource agencies, the Sierra Club, all the staff, everybody supports. It took us 4 months to get a variance from the Corps to show that we're not impacting their existing project. The project that we're trying to rebuild was reauthorized in 1966. And we've been working on that one for a long time, but we're really steamrolling it now, and we've got a lot of support from Capitol Hill, and we have vertical team meetings with headquarters, the South Pacific Division, San Francisco District on Monday. We have meetings with our county administrative officer and the new general of the South Pacific Division and the new lieutenant commander of the San Francisco District on January 10th. What I can do Monday at that vertical team meeting is I can bring up this topic. I will bring up the topic and see if we can get, as a high priority, a response from the geosciences section and the readiness branch section on this matter.
Okay. Do you have any sense for when something is high priority? Does it take a couple of months, or is it just unknown?
It's hard to speak favorably of the Corps.
Okay, I'm totally asking.
I would say, at least a couple months.
Okay, all right. I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I'm just trying
to get a sense, because I think more than we would, what kind of time frame we're dealing with here, if we're going to have anything happen with this agenda item, if we were to seriously entertain your requests.
Yes.
How much time is really needed to do that? So,
what I can tell you is that with respect to the new urgency of levee inspections, if we get unsatisfactory marks on any of our management things, we will lose the ability of the Army Corps of Engineers to help flood fight in the future. So the levee management practices that were of years behind and the levee management practices that are today are vigorously different.
Okay. I would hope so.
One more question.
Yes.
And then
Dr. Hunter.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wondered if we could have a copy of what he submitted.
Sure.
Made for the board to be able to look at it now.
I would assume that would get done,
Yeah. Well, sure, it could be passed around. I think this is what he's asking staff to analyze for us, right, and to consider before anything is really done.
Yes.
Permit with this application or this renewal. Yes.
My opinion, I would give you my opinion, I would drop back down to the level you were prior to 2005.
Right.
That's my opinion.
No, I know, and that level is 25. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
One more question, and again, sorry if this is obvious to everybody else and I missed it, but you were listing all these risk factors.
Yes.
And I was unclear on the reliability of those determinations, and is that something we can actually accept as evidence?
Well, I will give you a couple-tiered response to that. The first tier is it's an administrative draft document.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it will change. I believe it will be in the same form when it comes out as a part of the public draft of the EIR, EIS. And we're trying to get that schedule out prior to April 2012. We're hoping to get that document released by December 2011. Mr. Briggs, I think these are estimated probabilities of failures. So they are estimates. But, they are estimates made by geotechnical people.
By what?
By geotechnical people.
Is that the report?
Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah. Does it say draft on it?
Well, I heard you before say it was administrative draft, so you're providing
it is administrative
those caveats.
Draft. The watermark for the draft is not clear. It's down here on the page that you have. It's very clear draft. That's the four functions that were evaluated and the graphs of those functions.
Where's our copy? Dr. Hunter, okay. I just want somebody to write draft on the top of it, that's all.
And you'd be welcome to put administrative in front of that if you'd like.
Francis,
hers is marked.
Okay. All right. Well, pages get photocopied. Someone copies the first page or two, and it gets sent out, and then all of a sudden it's lost.
Correct me,
McChesney,
if the table with the four features that have the graphs on it, it said draft on the version you have there?
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Okay, if we could then bring the applicant back up and give you your opportunity to respond any way you want to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, board members, for hearing this issue. Just a little history. Granite Rock Company is a locally owned and operated, family-operated company. It's been around for 110 years. The A.R. Wilson Quarry has been around for the same amount of time. Our marching orders as part of the Sustainable Resource Development Department of Granite Rock Company are to seek permits that we can comply with and find ways to comply with those permits. So we have a little more of a higher bar when we come into these hearings. So we will not sign up for a permit that we don't think we can comply with. At issue here is water quality. We've agreed to accept the permit that it's on the table here because we think we have the ability to comply with it. If you were to change when we have to discharge and put restrictions on discharges, you will affect our ability to comply with a permit, and specifically the water quality goals and objectives. And that's an important consideration for the board when it dives into an area of flood control regulation through a waste discharge permit. I would like to point out, as Young pointed out, this is a the flooding is not a water quality issue. I would also like to state for the record, as if Jeffries pointed out, he did say our previous analysis said this was a drop in the bucket water flow. Actually, it is a drop in the bucket, but it's also less than what would occur naturally if our facility was not there. So the discharge proposed in this permit would be less than under natural conditions. That's a very important point that we would like to make clear because there seems to be no discussion of what would trigger a review of flooding analysis in this discussions we've heard to date. We'd also like to point out that this is not a controlled release. This release is necessary to avoid to maximize safeties of employees at Granite Rock Company at the facility. It's not like we just look in the air and, you know, we want to let it go today. As our record shows, we work really hard to prevent any kind of release. We had no release last permit term. We had two releases before that permit term. That's because of our first order environmental principles: water quality and recycling water and preserving water. And that gets into those kind of nuanced discussions about our well water not being able to meet water quality objectives. If we were to take our well water, put it right into the river, we would be at risk of complying with the standards the STIP has without those dilution credits and the intake credits and the other thing the board has talked about. I would like to ask the board to, as part of this testimony, if we need to make an appeal, to accept the testimony in 2005 and the research and the staff report as part of this public record, if I can make that request, so that discussion is part of this hearing too. I would like Tina to clear up a point for you about this conception that's inaccurate, that there was a previous limit in 2005, and I'm going to pass it to Tina.
So I think part of the confusion comes from a proposed prohibition in the 2004 application. Prior to 2004-2005, we had no restrictions on when we could discharge. But despite that lack of restriction, we still did everything we could to avoid discharging, obviously. But with the 2004 application, there was a recommendation to put in a 25-foot flood stage level. And that restriction was taken from the SCRAW wastewater treatment plant permit. So we sort of just took that limit and put it into our permit. But there was the consensus that that's not a comparable situation, that we can't control our discharges like SCRAW does, and we don't have the abilities to manage the water like SCRAW does. And so that level was actually raised. So there actually is no prior level to what we're currently looking at here. We're not asking to change the level. We're not asking to increase or discharge. Really, we're not asking for anything except what was there before. So I just wanted to make that point clear. And I think, Cecile, could we put up the graphs? I do also want to highlight the drop in the bucket concept. As we talked about, we work hard to avoid discharging. But if we were to have to discharge, our flow rates are insignificant and barely measurable when compared to the flows of the river. So I don't know if you're able to see the charts in front of you. What we did was we took the Paw River flows, the mean daily flows, which from the Department of Water Resources and the USGS, and we plotted it against what the potential flood state, the theoretical flood stages of 32. So that would be that green line, right about 2,000 cubic feet per second. And we did that for several years running. And then we also have the mean daily river flow of the Paw River, which would be the blue line. And then our permitted discharge level is the red line at the base. At 14 CFS, it is about 0.07% of the flow at around the flood stage. And we can scroll through maybe some of the years. It just sort of reinforces that. And I do want to point out that we did not discharge in some of the years that we have graphed. It's just more for illustrative purposes. Having the flexibility to time our discharge is very important to us for compliance. Having a wider window allows us to ride out those major storms where otherwise we would have to discharge sooner, thinking that we won't be able to discharge later, so we need to discharge it now. If we were to discharge it sooner, a larger portion of that water would be the groundwater because we would need it to supplement our recycled water system. And it's already been well established the groundwater doesn't meet certain water quality objectives. So we would be discharging more frequently, less quality water. And that doesn't even guarantee that we wouldn't discharge during a flood situation because as Aaron's pointed out, we discharge if it's an emergency for us. If our reservoir can't contain the water, if there's a risk to our workers or to our facility, we're going to have to discharge. So even with a narrower discharge window, it doesn't guarantee that we wouldn't have to discharge in emergencies. And I do also want to reiterate Aaron's point about if our facility weren't here, the natural flows would be higher. This was established during the last permitting process and during the appeals and the petition. Our de minimis impact can't be a nuisance if it's less than what would naturally flow to the river if our facility weren't there. We submitted models in the 2004 process that showed stormwater that would drain to the river would be about 9.85 million gallons per day. Our permitted maximum allowable discharge is 9 million gallons a day. And that model only considered a small fraction of our facility. If you can look at the map in front of me right there, or Aaron's long arms can reach it.
Excuse me, can you repeat those numbers again?
Our model was showed the natural runoff would be about 9.8 million gallons per day for the watershed I'm going to point out right now. That part right there, the remainder of our facility, also holds back rainwater. And in the previous year's model, I actually didn't include that portion of it as well. So actually,
and for the board's reference, this distance is about 2 miles of stretch. Mm-hmm. So the part of the facility that we're proposing to discharge from is this pond right here. We've spent a lot of resources, financial resources and otherwise, to keep direct rainwater from coming into this reservoir. So this part of the facility is controlled. This is not adding to flooding to the Pajaro River. They were actually, you know, we're holding back a lot of water here that was not included in that previous analysis. Regardless, that previous analysis shows that under natural conditions, there's more rainwater runoff than there would be from our discharge permit. And if that's the trigger, if you're saying even with that trigger, that warrants further discussion on flooding regulation, then that is that seems like a new rulemaking process, and I urge caution on how the board moves forward with that rulemaking process and associate and try to link that rulemaking process to some level of risk.
You know, we do sympathize with Santa Cruz County's flood management problems. I don't want you to think we're just blasé about it. You know, I agree with them that it's important to have strong levees and to manage our flood system, but I don't agree with them that the board should be responsible and liable for maintaining those levees. I just, I don't think a water quality permit is the proper vehicle for flood management. Are there any questions that we can answer?
You mentioned that you could discharge sooner, but the water quality would be lesser. Would it still comply with receiving water standards?
No.
No.
Not as this permit's written.
Not without intake credits, deletion credits, and further analysis. We don't believe so. And if we were to discharge sooner, we would be drawing more groundwater and depleting the groundwater resources in our area, which we feel is another important issue to keep in mind.
What do you mean by sooner? Are you talking about hours sooner?
Yeah, I meant before it hits 28.5, you know.
Well, I understand that. So, right. You know, is 5 hours going to make any difference of your discharge of water quality into the discharge?
Part of the issue is the unpredictability of the weather. So if the window were to be lowered and we were restricted, for example, at 25 feet, at 24 feet we would discharge. If the floods, you know, if the rains subside and nothing else happens, we've just emptied our reservoir. So we would need to pump in more groundwater to fill up the reservoir so that we could have production. And that would just continue on through the season. If it does exceed, if the rains continue past the 25 foot and we're at 29 feet and or 30 feet and it's at risk to our levees, we would still have to discharge. But at that point, the water in the reservoir would be a much higher proportion of groundwater, which is lower quality.
What forces a discharge is intense rainwaters. We're talking about probably 4 inches. That volume and of water would dilute the groundwater that's already in the basin. That is our ability to get to the limits that are in this order. If we were to discharge water from the well into the river, we could not comply with this permit as it's written with our treatment facility on site.
Well, when you go to discharge from this pond, what if you just emptied half of it and not all of it?
The pond would still be missing that additional amount of rainwater that would get us into the intense flooding event that would get us into that's a significant volume of water. Talking millions and millions of gallons. That's really important to keep in account because we have discharge permits in parts per billion, parts per trillion for certain constituents that happen to be naturally occurring in the groundwater.
Have you had a scientific review of that on the timing and the amount that you could discharge prior to a flood event and the mixing of rainwater, say if you had a duration of rain over 5 or 6 days? Do you have some kind of analysis, scientific analysis of that?
I believe we supplied the board with that in 2005, and it's been supplemented with sampling that we've had in between. Per the board members' urging of us last time, we've worked hard as possible and successfully to avoid any type of discharge. So we haven't had opportunity to sample new discharged waters because we've avoided discharge.
Well, I don't think you really answered my question, but I'll leave it at that at this point. But, my argument's still the same as it was 5 years ago.
Any other board questions or comments at this time? Briggs?
You were saying it was a misconception or inaccurate to say it's a controlled discharge, right? But you were just talking about deciding to release water at 24 feet or deciding to release water at different levels.
I can explain that better.
Okay.
What it is, as you can see on the map there, the blue water body is a reservoir. That reservoir sits about 80 feet above the Pajaro River on a bank. If the reservoir were to overtop and start to erode down the bank, there would be a pretty severe discharge, uncontrolled discharge to the river. So in the interest of water quality, we found that if we use our dredge, this is back in 2000, 2001 discharges, and we had the permit modified, to discharge from the dredge from the top of the water column of the lake. By doing that, we can ensure that we hit our sediment goals and, it seems, our metal goals. So the method of discharge is controlled, but if we did not use that dredge to discharge in a controlled manner, it would be an uncontrolled discharge, overtopping a levee and going down the bank. possibly causing erosion and undermining that reservoir system.
Okay, but that's certainly what you strive to avoid. So that would be the only instance of an uncontrolled discharge, and otherwise you operate with a controlled discharge.
Well, we only discharge if that's at risk. If an uncontrolled discharge is at risk.
We try to operate without discharging. We put in a lot of time, a lot of money in managing our water system on site, improving our stormwater collection systems and piping networks so that we can avoid discharging, because we believe zero discharge is the best water quality. You're not putting anything into the river.
And the maximum in the permit, your cutoff is, was it 31.3?
It's 13,000 cubic feet per second.
No, the level.
31.4, I believe.
31.4?
Yes, 31.4.
Possibly 3.
That's equivalent to 13,000 million gallons per day going through the Chittenden gauge.
Right. And may I continue with that one? Have you looked at, you said you wouldn't be able to meet the requirements because of too much well water if that limit was 25. Have you looked at whether that would still be a problem if it was at, say, 28.5 feet instead of 31.3? And looking at these risk numbers, you know, the risk decreases, of course, as far as the flooding risk downstream.
No, we haven't directly looked at that that issue. Because that would imply that we were able to model the rain events up to that level and assess the amount of rainwater dilution up to that stage and compare the two discharge scenarios, which would be a pretty amazing calculation, honestly. We could undertake that, but there's going to be a lot of what-ifs in those assumptions to that level. But I'd again like to remind the board, this would be, this permit right here is less than natural conditions. So the threshold for the interest of this issue is surprising. It's equivalent to runoff of 120-acre farm field, our discharge. And we think the given that risk assessment, it's rather unfair as a regulated entity respecting the board.
And you said that the modeling from previously said that for the subset of your area there, the natural discharge would be greater. Just a little bit. You said 9.85 versus 9 MGD, right? And you said that didn't take into account that other acreage. What's the ratio of those acreages? Does that mean that's only a third of the area, or that was?
I did
calculated?
Run the numbers on the other portion of the facility this year, and that comes out to about 13 or 14 million gallons per day. We did include that with his comments, because we didn't think that
13 or 14 that was not included. So the total would be 24.
Plus 13 or 14 million gallons.
So the total would be 23, 24 million gallons. Okay.
So I'm clear. When you do want to discharge, how do you discharge to the river? And are you emptying reservoir?
No.
We only lower the... Yeah. Tina works really hard on this issue and spent many weekend hours making sure we don't discharge. So, and we have a commitment to do that further. We only discharge enough water to get back into safe circumstances at the quarry. We discharge through a dredge that we use to maintain capacity of the quarry during the regular season, and we discharge down a concrete reinforced bank into the Pajaro River.
Right. Have the board questions or
comments at this?
You need LID.
What's that? Ready to move. Okay. All right. Thank you for your comments.
Just 30 seconds.
Yeah. In fact, why don't you come up, because I've got a question for you. I'm just curious about your response.
Bruce Leclerc again.
Yes.
And I have to agree with the Granite Rock staff that this amount of discharge is a you know, it is a minimal amount. There's no question. There's no disagreement on that. Okay. From a policy perspective, the boards that I represent do not think it's a good idea to discharge any controlled releases above the flood warning level where there's imminent danger of flooding or now levee failure. So we're not, you know, we're in agreement about the size of this discharge. No questions. Okay, the other thing, well, water quality and the receiving body for this water, 25 feet, 28 feet, I believe it'd be the same water quality. You know, that's nasty water at that point. You know, that's got everything in it moving down through there. I'm not sure how much of an argument you could get there that you're protecting water quality by waiting until 28 feet versus 25 feet. I've never seen anything on it. Anyways.
Well, the discharger doesn't have the option of saying, gee, the river is really muddy, so don't give me mandatory minimum penalties.
You understand that world. I don't. And my hat's off to you there.
Do you agree when they say that there's actually less runoff from their site than natural? In other words, that when they do discharge, it's a lesser amount than what would normally be happening across that site because of what they've done with their stormwater controls.
And I don't have their stormwater controls in front of me.
Okay.
I think my same response is going to be is, you know, you're not talking about a lot of water, but it's a policy thing.
Right.
No?
Okay.
The runoff from the Pajaro River or the Santa Clara tributaries or the San Benito River certainly is gargantuanly higher than what's coming from the quarry site.
Right. Okay. Thank you for your comments. Come back.
I do just want to make a quick comment addressing the concept of the policy issue, and I do want to reiterate and make sure it's clear. Based on the petition from last time around, we were looking at the flood issues from a nuisance perspective under the water quality purview, and it was determined at the time, and it continues to be so, that such a de minimis amount of water, 0.07%, and that's less than the natural flows, can't possibly be a nuisance that should be included in this policy. So I just wanted to make sure that point was pretty clear. Thank you.
Okay. What would the board like to do? We can.
I just have some comments, response to those comments.
Okay.
As far as the Santa Cruz County's data, we did encourage them to provide us more data, levee data, and to help us make other decisions on the permit. But without that data, we'll definitely take a look at it. The 9 million gallons per day that is permitted as to the Granite Rock is definitely, and as you can see, is a very minor, I think it's like 0.02% that would be added to the, the 10% and 22% of possibility of levee failures. And then also the permit is written, and we do have in there that, the discharge will definitely not cause any nuisance or flooding conditions down the Pajaro River flows. So the permit is written to protect those types of situations as well.
Can I just make a couple more points?
Yes.
Santa Cruz County requested, first of all, delaying adoption today. I don't see how that would even benefit the county. The existing permit already has the prohibition at 31.4 feet. If the board didn't adopt the new permit, that would still be in effect. So I don't see how there's any difference between adopting the permit with 31.4 and leaving the old one in effect. So I wouldn't suggest doing that. Just to clarify Francis's earlier questions, the county did submit comments during the public comment period, but not the data that we got today. So that is new data. And I don't think the discharge from the quarry is going to significant. Well, it's not going to change those percentages of failure possibility. Those are there regardless of where the water is coming from. And adding the, like Cecile said, the 0.07% additional water is not going to change those percentages of probability of failure. So I just want to point that out.
That's point. Was that 0.07% failure? Adding to the risk of failure. Okay.
I think Cecile said 0.02, but
yeah, I think. Well,
you know, I guess for me the real question is, what additional risk of flooding are we permitting with these limits in the permit?
The possibility that the permit allows almost a flood stage, allowing a maximum discharge of 9 million gallons per day to an existing flow of over 13,000 million gallons per day. So gets back to that drop in the bucket. How do you say that increases or doesn't increase the chance of flooding? As Mr. Jeffries would say, it doesn't matter to the person who's getting flooded where the water came from, but the amount being added to the river is extremely small compared to the flow.
Right. Okay. Mr. Hashi?
And then if you look on the other side, it's the flow that's not coming down, the additional flow that's not coming down during the peak season, as long as they're discharging to the permit.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just to throw in my two cents, I frankly, before hearing everything, I was leaning towards saying, why not be a little more protective? Why not 28.5 feet? To reduce the risk. But I think in trying to balance everything that we've heard with the very real issue of effluent violations, but more, and you know, really that would be the discharger's problem as opposed to the people's problem down in the valley. But I think what is compelling is that with their facility, the information that we heard in terms of actually having a significantly reduced discharge compared to what would naturally occur is pretty significant. So I recommend that we stick with the staff recommendation.
Okay. Board discussion.
Well, Mr. Briggs, do we have information that substantiates that claim? I know that they said they submitted that back in 2005, but I don't see that, and I don't remember that information being supplied at that particular time.
Well, we did provide, as part of this record, reference to the petition and the response to the petition, and frankly, I can't recall how much of that was discussed at that time, whether that's valid. I think we've heard several things today that our new, Mr. Packard pointed out the data the county provided is new. So you're right, that may be some new information in terms of the record that's available today.
Well, just further my comments and my statement earlier, and I think the chairman said it again, is that when your home is flooding, you really don't care where it's coming from. All you know, it's flooding, and there's probably a number of discharges along the river that individually doesn't make any difference, but collectively they do. That is one of my concerns, because Parr River has historically flooded several times and flooded a lot of agricultural land as well as residential units in the lower half of the Parr Valley. I will say that, you know, Granite Rock is good stewards of their facilities. They've done an excellent job, but it's perceived that the discharge, and that's my main issue, is the discharge, And I think they can do the timely release prior to knowing of the flood stages that would be coming down the river and also the weather that is anticipated, an additional rainfall, that if they use dredge pumps and their issue is that the water quality wouldn't be as good, it seems to me that they could dredge the top portion of the storage facilities and not dredge the bottom portion of the storage, which has more dilution on top and wood on the bottom. And my concern is that, you know, not only for water quality, and I really don't see this as a water quality issue per se, but it's more of a water volume which has contaminants in it when you have floods. And we're just looking at the amount of flow, but we also should look at the possible contamination that would breach the river. And I think Santa Cruz County is asking us to hold off on this decision until we get more information from the Army Corps of Engineers and their analysis from the administrative report that they put out. And I would kind of support that issue. And I think I argued very hard in 2005, and I think there was people here from Monterey County Water Resources at that time was arguing the same point. So my issue is still, if we could work in some kind of prior discharge, timely controlled discharge prior to that flood stage and get it back down to 25 feet, I would be more than happy to support that. But I just can't see that. And they've only had two releases over a number of years, and I congratulate them for doing that. They worked very hard to accomplish that. That I'm not arguing that point, but it's the one instant situation, point in time, that if we have a major flood, and we're going to have another one. There's no question about it. History has always done that, whether it's the Salinas River, the Par River, or both of them together. So I'd like to have more information, and I'm really not sure. I don't have any documents at the tip of my fingers that says that natural runoff would be more volume than their controlled amount of water that they would release on a normal day release. I'm not sure of that, and I need to see that report to prove that. It's hard for me to believe with that type of information. And since that, and I don't know how they would do that, it must be just an analysis, because that quarry's been there for 100 years. I haven't been here for 100 years, but it's been here as long as I can remember. But I don't know how the analysis was broke down. So Mr. Chair, I'm more in favor of holding off and getting that information from the Army Corps and having the staff or Santa Cruz County getting that information and making sure that we have all the information that's needed to make that kind of decision.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions? Mr. Hayashi?
If, whether we approve or put this off today, the preceding permit would be in place until we reissue this one,
right?
Yes, it would.
And that 31 point whatever is already there, yeah, is in place, but that doesn't. If we approve it today, when the additional information comes in, we can make the adjustment at any time.
Right. You can, if you have new information that indicates.
Yeah, and then we could do that through the executive officer without even having to come back to the board to make those. We cannot?
Well, you could do three things today. You could postpone the hearing and get more information. You could adopt the permit as is, or you could adopt the permit as is and request that the executive officer bring it back to you if this new information is developed to show that there's
I would be in favor of looking at approving something today and having it brought back to us. Not only because it, you know, under today we're on, look at this board, we are unmanned. If something happens to one of us, we don't have a meeting today. So, I mean, if the information comes back and it shows that we need to make changes, the changes will be made. And that's my only, I mean, I would make.
Did you want to add?
The question would be the urgency. What's the urgency of approving this?
Well, the impact of not approving it as is that the staff has proposed changes to their some effluent limits and, you know, some other changes, correct? So then they wouldn't be required to comply with those. And some of them are removing effluent limits that they would no longer have to meet because there's no reasonable potential anymore to meet those. So have some effect.
If we approve it now, but have it come back to us if there's information that suggests that we need to make changes, done the work now to approve the permit.
Well, I understand.
And
that.
There may, Army Corps may agree with what staff is telling us. And so it wouldn't have to come back to us. We've done the work right now. We've got the new effluent limits in it.
But EA would be happier.
Well, as far as the water, I would agree, and I probably would support that because simply because that deals with the water quality issue.
Right.
But I still like, you know, I don't want this to disappear because I think it's important for all of us.
Okay. Let's. Why don't we go ahead and vote on it? We could put a condition in that it comes back to the board. At least for a status report on what we get back from Army Corps and staff's analysis of what the Army Corps says. So that kind of keeps this loop somewhat open, and we're requesting it to come back to us.
All right, I'll go for that, but I...
Dr. Hunter?
I don't want it to disappear.
Okay.
And I completely support Mr. Jeffries. I think the questions that you raised are... essential. What is the study that was produced, and as you point out, you know, what are the methods that are being used in order to reduce that flow under managed conditions at the quarry? But I also agree that we should move forward and gain the additional effluent limits that come with the new permit, with the understanding that we'll have a chance to hear more information from Army Corps as well as from the county's efforts to clarify just where they think this risk factor and water quality nexus sits for us. We need to be sure we're clear on that.
Okay. I think Mr. Hodgen has been waving for
the motion
to be made. He's heard the motion a few times already. Which one is it, Mr. Hodgen?
Well, I think Mr. Hayashi made a motion, which was... our esteemed counsel's third choice.
Okay.
And I would certainly second that motion. And I'm really very sensitive to the flood control issues in the Pajaro River, and I don't envy Mr. Leclerc's job in trying to resolve those issues. I mean, it's a really tough situation. But I think we're really here on water quality issues and not flood control issues. And so I think this is the appropriate action. We need to move ahead.
Okay. Francis, could you restate then your option number three that appears to be the motion?
Okay. Option number three was to approve the permit as proposed and have direction to the executive officer to bring it back when new information becomes available about this flooding issue.
Okay. The only thing I want to make sure is included in this is whose responsibility is it going to be to get the Army Corps to respond?
County.
Well, I would think Santa Cruz County, since they've raised the issue, and since they're going to be in meetings with them, they can surely approach the concerns that we have in Santa Cruz County, and I would think Monterey County. And I would ask the staff also to contact Monterey County Water Resources Agency, because this definitely affects them as well.
So the clerk can certainly talk to Monterey County and ask them to participate in Santa Cruz County's request for input from the Army Corps. Okay. Put it in writing.
I just have one quick question. is the county involved in the formal working group that you described, Monterey County? They're involved in that already. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Letter from Army Corps, or a would you like it to come back in the form of a letter from the Army Corps or the form of a letter from Santa Cruz County?
Well, whatever you get from the Army Corps should go to staff.
Okay.
Staff is then going to let the board know what's happened. By way, we're requesting a status report. So it is going to come back to the board regardless of what the Army Corps says. If they say no problem, go ahead with the permit the way it's written, we're going to know that. If the Army Corps has any problems, we're going to know that too. So whatever you get from the Army Corps, make sure staff gets a copy and ask staff to please, you know, agendize it for the board meeting. They're going to do it anyway because we've asked them to do it, but you could remind them by putting that in your cover letter with whatever you get from the Army Corps.
Mr. Chair, I think Santa Cruz County also could make comments on that letter if they wanted to and supply that at the same time.
May I ask the director if it would be okay to invite your staff to attend with us this discussion with the Corps? I mean, regardless of how this appeared to you this morning, I try to do things in a collaborative manner. And, you know, I was asking for the applicant and your staff to meet with the Corps. I'd be delighted to meet with the Corps singularly with Monterey County. I'd be delighted if your staff sat in on those discussions and the applicant sat in on those discussions, whatever is your preference.
Well, you can certainly ask. I don't want to commit staff to get involved in a 12-year core study, so we'll have to evaluate. But certainly let us know, and we'll have to see how it fits.
I just mean with respect to this item.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Briggs, with the staff getting involved, they probably could finish the analysis. It's taken 12 years.
Okay. All right. Anything else for this? We do have a motion. We have a second.
Yes.
Have some direction, too, for what's going to follow. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
I do want to say one more thing about the record, because Mr. Briggs asked about what would be in the record, and I believe you said that the petition and the responses you had provided already on this issue, or they're in your staff records, right, from the 2005?
Yeah,
permit?
They are.
Okay. So if there were to be a petition filed, it would be up to the State Board whether to accept those items, but we could certainly include them in the record if appropriate. So,
does this go back to the 2005 information?
Right. Generally speaking, the record for this would be from the 2005 forward, but because this issue was raised in this proceeding, it would be appropriate to include that information about flooding that was also included in the 2005 permit when these provisions or these prohibitions were added into the permit.
Okay.
Would it be appropriate just to add the minutes from that meeting?
Sure. Yeah. And we can discuss that later if there is a petition. But.
Okay. We need to take a break. We'll come back at... Let's shoot for 5 after 11.
Okay.
Okay.